Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. I'm Lisa Urbanski, joined by Charlie Johnson. He is one of the world's first chief consciousness officers. And he is here today to do a really, really deep dive into what consciousness actually means. If you did not listen to our latest episode where we dove into the chief consciousness officer position, go back on our platform, on our channel, and check that one out because it was really, really insightful. And that would be a good place to start. But today we're going to break that down slowly so you can fully understand that. Before we get started, I just want to thank our sponsor, iHeartRadio and Spreaker. Without you guys, this would not be possible. And to our audience, like, subscribe, follow, do all the things. Put some questions in the comments if you'd like as well, and we'll be sure to answer them at the best of our ability. Welcome back, Charlie.
Thank you for having me again. This is great.
Yeah, how's it going today?
Everything's good. Dog's laying right here, nice and calm, and we're about to talk about consciousness, so it couldn't be better.
Nice. What kind of dog do you
A English cream.
have? An English crane?
English cream, the golden retriever, but white.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen one of those before.
Oh, you have. You have. They're
I
very,
have.
you've seen. Yeah.
Okay, and he's a
Incredible.
good dog. He's sitting
Incredible
there.
good dog. Oh yeah, just hanging out.
Amazing, amazing. So I'm really excited to talk about this topic today and to really dive into what consciousness means because, as you know, it means a lot of things to different people. So would you like to start there? Like, can you explain consciousness in simple terms and why it matters in everyday life?
So, anyone who says they know what consciousness is full of shit. So the best thing we can do is figure out ways to describe it to better understand it and that we have access to it. So it's kind of like saying, do we know what the mind is? Really? Like, where is it? Well, it's up here. Well, we don't have any physical evidence for that. Where do your thoughts come from? Well, they come from my brain. No. No, we don't know that. We have EKGs. We know how the brain works. We have studies. We see those images of what the brain does on meditation, what it's off, what it does on drugs. We have certain images, but we really don't know. When you get to the true understanding of these non-physical phenomena, like the mind and thoughts, which we all take for granted because all 8 billion of us have it. So when it comes to consciousness, same thing. It's just that the mind and thoughts are so conditioned into everyone on this planet. That's all we know. It's all we've worked on. It's all we've ever been taught. It's the only way we learn. All of the things that self-development pushes is mental clarity, mental toughness, mental this, all the Navy shit, like all of it's about the mind. So consciousness is no different. The only difference is consciousness is the source. If you just logically think about it, everything came from somewhere. Yes, you and I and everyone listening came from a single cell inside a woman's body, and now we have a body and organs and senses. That to me is the most magical thing in the universe. We just take that for granted because that's how we all came about, and we just talk about it like it's normal. Fine. But where did that cell come from? Right? Where did the universe come from? Where did all of our constructs and words come from? All knowledge, all the things we learn, all of our thoughts, all of our mind, the middleman, the brain, the bot, like it all came from somewhere. And to the best of our ability, it came from consciousness. Consciousness is fundamental to our existence and to our experience. Consciousness and conscious is different. You and I are conscious. We are aware of each other right now. If we get hit in the head, we're unconscious. Right? So people will mix conscious and consciousness together. It's just not the same. Conscious is more of a, I might get skewered for this, but conscious is more of like a verb. Consciousness is more of a noun. Consciousness is everything physical and non-physical. So being the source of it, I think it would be more important for us to better understand the source because we've really paid attention to the mental mind and the mind and thoughts and everything else, but it's coming from somewhere and it's coming from consciousness. And the best way to simply explain it in a metaphor. is the wise fish swimming through the ocean, swims by two young fish, and says, "Hey boys, how's the water?" The two fish look at each other and say, "What's water?" So that's consciousness to us. You and I right now, if I said, hey Lisa, hey Susie, hey Ed, hey whoever, how's the consciousness today?" And people are like, "What is consciousness?" We are swimming in it because everything physical and non-physical came from it. So let's wrap that into it's all one. It's all connected. Quantum mechanics, the quantum field, how people can remote view, all of these scientific ways that very intelligent, unspiritual people are finally starting to understand or prove that it's all one. The double slit experiment, the taking a piece of DNA here and moving it 1,000 miles away, and whatever you do to this piece of DNA, it's not even time, it's immediate what happens to the other piece of DNA 1,000 miles away. The quantum entanglement, it's all connected. That is consciousness.
Can we
That's the
back up a
water.
little bit? Can we back up a little bit? And can you
Yes.
define source, like in a general way for our listeners to understand? What do you mean when you say that is the source?
Yeah, that's a good question, because when people hear source, if they're super spiritual, they're thinking source, like it's all love, it's God. It's no, I'm not talking about that.
That's
I'm not
exactly what I
talking
pictured. I pictured like someone on
about
top of a mountain shining down
no,
on
no,
me.
no,
And I know what you're talking about, but that's like
no.
immediately where the mind goes, right?
Yes, the mind immediately goes there because of our conditioning. I'm talking like the source of my anger, the source of the cheeseburger, I don't like the source of our,
McDonald's? No, I'm just kidding.
yeah, exactly. The source of this chair, the source of, my God, I've talked about consciousness so long, I can't come back to certain simple things. The source of happiness, the source of, just the source of water. The river is a source of water. I'm not talking about it from a spiritual, this is God. It's the source. I'm saying the source because I don't want to upset people who don't believe in God. No, like the source of water is a river, the source. So there is something that created everything, something everything came from. And again, from our best understanding, it's consciousness. Because there still is a group of neurobiologists and neuroscientists that believe the brain creates consciousness. And I can't I can't believe that's still a thing. Thinking the brain creates consciousness, and we've talked about this, is like being in your car, listening to your car radio, and thinking that you're going to dive into the radio and see and find the band. It's just the brain is just a receiver. It's funneling, filtering through consciousness, our senses, how we're absorbing things. So consciousness is everything physical and non-physical, and we are swimming in it all the time. We can't be connected or disconnected from it. It's us. It's who we are.
So I have a question for you then. Do we have the ability to change our radio station to tune into different levels of consciousness, energy streams? Or are we affected by the frequency that is in our presence? Or is it a little bit of both?
There you go. There's your answer. Every question you have is going to have both, because we're always our mind, the tool we've been given, the mind is always looking for an either or. Is it the people I'm around, or do I need to leave? Is it God, or is there no God? Is it Republican, or is it Democrat? It's both. We can change it. We can shift our awareness. We can shift our focus. We can step outside of the room. We can be around different people. We can meditate to expand our awareness. We can do a myriad of different things. The difference in my mind is whatever we choose to do is the same. Some people will meditate, some people will read, some people will do psilocybin, psychedelics, some people will be around different people, some people will upend their life, some people will show more love. Like there's so many ways for us to expand our awareness, to shift our frequency, to change the channel. We're changing the channel by being asleep and waking up, by going to work a different way, by being more kind to the individual, having a little bit more patience. We're changing our frequency continuously. That's why it's so difficult to stay in peace and bliss, because we're humans and it's just constant change.
What does mindfulness mean to you?
being aware of our thoughts, being aware of who we are, at a deeper level, being aware of our bias and our conditioning, being aware that who we think is ruining the world believes we're the ones ruining the world as well, being aware of the division and conflict we create just by picking sides, even if it's with the best intentions. Saying that a few years ago is would not have been good, but there's such a shift of consciousness and clarity on this planet. That's what we need to be aware of. More people need to understand that you love your family, you're very intelligent, but you believe the Democrats are ruining the world. The Democrats believe you're ruining the world. You guys both want to rid the world of division and conflict. You're both creating division and conflict. You can argue about it all you want, but that's a fact. That awareness, being mindful of that, I think will plant enough seeds in individuals' heads to just shift, subtly shift down the road. Maybe they'll be a little bit less aggressive to the other side, a little bit more compassionate, a little bit less conflicted.
Okay, now, how's this one? What about consciousness and emotional awareness? Can you differentiate? Oh my gosh, that's a hard word. What's with you and podcasts and hard words for me? Consciousness and emotional awareness. Can you differentiate those terms, please?
Yeah, so all of our emotions, like thoughts, come from consciousness. So we're going to feel different things. We're going to feel happiness and sadness and anger and frustration and sad, whatever. Emotional intelligence is being aware of it. Why do you keep getting mad at this one little thing that no one else gets mad at? What is it that happened to you? How do you perceive this tiny little way that people drive that makes you just lose your damn mind when someone else would experience that and not even pay attention to it? The emotional intelligence and emotional awareness is the same with anything we talk about with consciousness, being aware, being mindful of it. Why does that make you happy? Why does that make you upset? Why are you hooked on that individual? Why are you hooked on that fear? What just asking different questions, digging into understanding where that came from rather than just saying, that's just me.
Like getting a better understanding of ourselves is the emotional intelligence.
Yeah,
Is that which is
absolutely.
that what it is? So how can expanding our consciousness influence our personal growth and relationships? And what does expanding consciousness mean?
We're here. Expand. If you're here, which most people are, all you're seeing, like it's like a horse with blinders. All you see is what comes in front of you. It's like you're standing behind a fence, 50 feet behind a fence, and there's a pinhole in the fence, and you're looking through that pinhole. You have an incredibly limited perception. You get closer to the fence, you can put your eye right up to the fence, and then you see all of it. When you expand your consciousness, you're just, I mean, it seems so simple to me. When you expand, you're seeing different things. You're no longer tunneled here. Everything out here is still existing. There's solutions, there's problems, there's answers, there's better ways to handle your relationships, better ways to be a business, better ways to be with your kid, better ways to be whatever. Expand, you have access to it. You're just expanding your awareness.
So I guess for the person that feels like they don't know how to do that, what would you say to them? Because there's different levels of awareness as you're aware of. And so someone who doesn't want to react to those situations, or someone that doesn't want to be triggered by the person in traffic, someone like me who gets annoyed when my partner chooses food, like, so how do you become, I'm aware of that, but how do you start changing those habits in our brain so that you expand your consciousness, essentially?
Well, being aware of it is the best first thing. Understand there are certain things that just won't go away. There's a great teacher by the name of Ram Dass that I remember him talking about after 20 years with his teacher, 20 years of meditation, 20 years of psilocybin and psychedelics, 20 years of the highest level of understanding. He said, after all of that, not a single one of my neuroses went away. When I heard that, I was like, shit. So, wow. Okay, so I can be aware of it. If we're aware of it, maybe it bothers us less. maybe in the moment when your partner's chewing his food, you won't snap at him. It'll still drive you crazy internally, but maybe just casually say, I got to go get some water. You'll react to it differently. You won't say, my God, will you chew with your mouth closed or cause tension? It'll be more of hey, I gotta jump to the restroom real quick, or I gotta grab some water, or maybe you put headphones in. You'll just find, when you have awareness to it, you'll find ways around it. Because when I heard Ram Dass say that, I realized that the certain things that I don't like about myself, or the things that bother me about people, they're probably not going away. But how I react to them, how they I let them inter bother me, has minimized over time. It doesn't bother me as much.
I love that you just normalize that because people do feel like it's them. Like, the fact that how dare I be annoyed with my partner for chewing food, right? Like he's got to eat. But I do take those measures, and yeah, every time he's eating, I'll go to the bathroom or I'll go have to put laundry away or whatever when I'm in that kind of mental space. But it's okay for us to protect ourselves from those things and to do things to minimize the effect on our body. So yeah, and we have to
Absolutely.
just be okay with that.
Absolutely. Completely agree.
What about collective consciousness? Can you define what that is? And how does that impact our culture and society? I mean, how doesn't it? But I want to hear your take.
So collective, if it's all one, it's all connected, then there's the collective consciousness of all 8 billion people on this planet.
That's a lot of energy. Wow.
Yeah. And the vast majority of this planet has a certain level of clarity that keeps this realm very dense.
What do you
What I
mean by
would
that?
say, well, what I would say to that is, when I make comments like that, I don't mean to, we don't get mad at an 8-year-old for being in second grade, and a 16-year-old in 10th grade is not better than the 8-year-old. Just different ages. If you take the 8-year-old and put them into high school and they've got to have a girlfriend and start driving, that kid's gonna fail miserably. He's gonna have a hard time. You take a 16-year-old, put him back in second grade, he's gonna be bored out of his mind. There's just different levels of clarity on this planet, individually. Not being impacted by the collective is very difficult. Very difficult. When we see what's on the news, there is billions of people that don't have food and water, billions of people within some type of conflict or war. That impacts us. We can't ignore it. We can say that has nothing to do with us. We can be ignorant to it. We can be unaware of it, which many people are. Again, not in a purposeful way. It's just not, they're not paying attention to it. But it impacts us. If it's all one, what we do impacts 8 billion people. Now it's spread over 8 billion people. So for us to be able to pinpoint that I made a bad decision today or upset someone and it impacts someone that I don't know over in Europe, you can't do that. I'm sure the universe can figure that out, but we can't. Just being aware of the collective, when people say if one person's not free, we're not all, not, none of us are free type of thing. I get that. I get that. We as humans, with our minds and the tools we've been given and the separation we have created to be in this realm, we are not built to really understand how much the collective consciousness impacts us or doesn't impact us. So we individualize everything. And that is part of this shift of consciousness on this planet that's awakening people to at least be more aware of the collective. And it has a not a downside, but a unique side to it, that when you do become more aware of it, it becomes a part of your awareness and it does weigh down on you. Very, very enlightened individuals, they need a lot of time alone. They need a lot of time away from people. They need a lot of time away from what the world is creating, because they're taking it all in.
Can you
When you're
define
really sensitive.
enlightenment for our listeners?
There is the way we've read about enlightenment, that we're like Jesus or Buddha. We have really no attachment to this world. We still have a physical body. Nothing really bothers us in a sense, right? It's peace, it's bliss, it's all love. We really look up to them. There is that, which a very select group of individuals have participated in, right? That we know of or read of, the some we haven't read of. And then there's the enlightenment of someone going from third to fourth grade, the enlightenment past third grade, the enlightenment of knowing math better, the enlightenment of knowing something you didn't know the year before, the awakening process. More people will use the word awakening as we awaken from different levels, different shifts, different consciousness. I know enlightenment they think is the end all be all, but if you listen to really high level male and female teachers, some of them will say enlightenment's the beginning, or that enlightenment is not the end all be all. I will talk from direct experience. When I was really aggressive with my teacher in the meditations and the energy and the Shakti pod and going from, there's the levels of Dr. Hawkins and the zero to 1,000. When you get to that certain level, you have an expectation of what that's going to be, and none of those expectations are met. If anything, it made being in this realm more difficult, because you don't have the ability to suppress or be ignorant to anything that's going on. That's a very difficult thing. So when I went to my teacher and said, I want truth, he kept questioning it. He kept saying, are you sure? Are you sure? Because what we as individuals think truth is, it's not. We think truth is manifest in all of our dreams and peace and bliss, and we're going to get rid of the negative and fill it all in with the good stuff. That's not the case. That is not the case. So enlightenment is being in the world but not of it, as Jesus would say, right? Just being unattached to things, but still participating in the body, still participating in society, still participating where very little bothers you. Like you look at Jesus and Buddha and Krishna and all those other ones, like it seemed like a lot of stuff didn't bother them, but they still had messages to get out. A lot of the enlightened gods that Buddhists and Hindus talk about, they still had a lot of destruction, a lot of creation, a lot of love, a lot of hate, a lot of underworld. Like we don't realize that everything that we're talking about came from consciousness. So enlightenment is a part of consciousness. The heads and tails of that coin is the opposite end of enlightenment, is ignorance. Both of those exist on this planet all the time. I guess instead of describing what enlightenment is, my answer would be for those seeking enlightenment, go for it, because there's something in your soul that seeks it. So there's nothing on this planet that anyone can tell you to stop it, to stop you down the path. What you're going to experience and what and when you get to that point of where you think enlightenment happens, it's not going to be what you think. But again, I'm not saying that to stop you, because many people told me the same thing, and there wasn't anything, even including my teacher, that would have ever stopped me. There's something in me that was saying, I want to know. And if you want to know, you'll get it. There, you'll understand. But it's un the one thing I will say too is it's an unlearning. It's not a learning. It's not a collection of knowledge. It's a letting go of how you perceive knowledge, how you filter information through your mind in a Republican or Democratic way. You're losing it all. You're removing bias and conditioning. You can't pick sides. You're neutral. And in a world that's divided, that's a tough place to be sometimes.
That's a tough place to be, yeah. But how powerful is that?
That's the natural evolution, and we need more people there, because it'll help raise the collective.
Yeah, exactly. Last question, and this is kind of a big one, and I think our listeners would be really interested to hear, is when were you aware of your awareness of this on such a deep level?
I don't know. M mine was so subtle. My awakening was so subtle. We hear this one story of the grand awakening, like Eckhart Tolle, where he was sitting on the park bench and things just blew open, right? So 10 million people will read his book and say, that's enlightenment. That's what's going to happen to me. And 10 million people will be let down. There are stories of being one with the tree, one with the river, having this, holy shit, I can see it all now. 99% of us, it'll just be like a 22-year-old turning 23. There's really not much difference between 22 and 23. There's not much of a difference between third and fourth grade. There's not much of a difference in those subtle shifts. The subtlety of this awakening process and enlightenment and being aware of being aware, it just, it comes. And you're just like, oh, interesting. What's for lunch? Like we have, there's nothing magical or mystical about a lot of this stuff. The only thing we pay attention to or focus on are the stories that practitioners will put on their, testimonials.
Yeah, of course.
There's one individual that had an incredible experience because of working with this teacher. What about the thousand that didn't? But we only pay attention to the one, which creates an expectation for most people to be let down. So I think that's why me not pushing one way or the other has, in a sense, with the neutrality, has kept me kind of off the radar, because it would, if I was smart, I would be talking about the flashy experiences or the dark side of awakening, because that's a Republican or Democrat. It's like going into a poll and saying, I'm not going to vote for either. How do I vote for neutrality? You're like, oh, that's not an option.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, but more people, such as you guys, are allowing me to talk about it with the position, talk about it in a different way. And I think as people awaken and they want a different view because so many views have let them down, I think this is going to be a very powerful view that helps a lot of people on the path, because it'll minimize the mistakes and it'll minimize them being let down by their ego-driven expectations.
And I think that's one of the things that I'm taking from this episode with you is like how expectations really harm us in a lot of ways. And we really have to start paying attention to what's really going on inside and not be so affected by all those things on the outside.
Yes,
Really
agreed.
advocate for ourselves. And then the world would be so much more authentic. That's just my take. It's my hot take.
Well, and that's where we're headed. Naturally, luckily, when we're left to our own devices, we create the world we've created. It's not the best. Luckily for us, there's a natural invisible force that's pushing us forward and raising consciousness and creating a better world. And we get to go along for the ride. Consciousness. Thank you, universe, for creating consciousness, creating us, and then pushing us forward. I mean, we're living in a very unique time, something humanity's never experienced.
I agree. So where can our listeners find you? When they want to learn more about you, when they want to learn more about what a chief consciousness officer is, where do they go?
We'll put it in the video, but LinkedIn. I'd like to get people to LinkedIn, because the post on LinkedIn talk continuously about, we'll do interviews like you and I. So they get to see in detail of my expertise or what we're talking about. They get to see what a chief consciousness is. Chief consciousness is not. They get to see how it can benefit their company. They get to see the conditioning that they think what it is, but it's not. I'd really like to push people to LinkedIn.
Okay, amazing. And yes, you're correct. We'll have that in the show notes for everyone to access you easily. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank
I
you.
would
Great
just
questions.
like to offer you a last mic drop moment as I normally do. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with today?
Just look into consciousness. That's always going to be the thing, that mic drop. Look into consciousness, Google search it, ask questions, read different books, find out what people think about it, see the different perspectives. It is the source of everything. So why wouldn't you want to know that? Your mind is the tool you've been given. It's the only tool you know, but it's the tool that causes you to think you need to meditate. It's the tool that causes the overwhelm. It causes the stress. It causes the anxiety. It creates fear. It's the middleman. So get to the source, get to consciousness, and help kind of give your mind a release valve. Expand the awareness so you can see different ways forward and different perceptions, perspectives, and maybe different answers and solutions to things that you want to solve.
Amazing. Thanks again for being here. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. I know I can't wait for the next episode. I think we're gonna dive deeper on these topics and really provide that clarity for you. I hope you and your dog have an amazing rest of your day. He's been pretty quiet there.
Yeah, he's just laying down. He's dreaming right now.
I don't believe you. I don't believe there's a dog there. He's too good.
Well, he's moving, so he might start yelping here when he's dreaming.
Amazing. Thanks again. Great interview. And I look forward to next time. And to our audience, thanks again.
Thanks, Lisa.